Thank you, Claire. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Acts is actually the second volume of literature that Luke wrote. Luke's gospel is the first volume. Luke is the one who also wrote the book of Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. We'll read the first section of that today. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, please open our minds to understand the scriptures and empower us by your Holy Spirit so we can be your witnesses wherever you lead us. Amen. I've said for the last several weeks that we are Easter people because Easter is when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and that celebration is ongoing. We live that celebration. Jesus is still raised from the dead. New life is still offered to us because of Jesus. Today, I want to recap the events of those 40 days after the first Easter when Jesus raised from the dead. According to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus presented himself alive to the disciples and to many others. The Bible says, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 53, the Bible says that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Luke says that Jesus helped the disciples to understand the meaning of the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus gave the disciples the responsibility to explain to other people why Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead was so essential for them and for us to be saved from our sins. And Jesus made sure that the disciples knew that there could be no other way for any people to be saved and go to heaven when we die except through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Luke 24, 46 through 49 is where Jesus says, this is what is written, and I'm quoting, "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." That's the end of the quote. Then there was time that the disciples had to wait. Those 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, when Jesus appeared physically to people, were first of all to open the minds of the disciples to understand why Jesus died, to prove beyond a doubt that Jesus rose physically from the dead, and third, to identify Jesus as God's promised Messiah. That was the point of those 40 days. In addition, during Jesus' 40 days with his followers, he gave his disciples the responsibility of testifying, of witnessing, of proclaiming Jesus' message of forgiveness of sins and a restored life with God. Jesus reassured the disciples during those 40 days that they would receive power from God through the Holy Spirit to continue his work of spreading the message of salvation. That's where we are today. Part of the message that Jesus proved to the disciples during that 40 days is that Jesus did not just raise spiritually from the dead. Jesus did not appear to people as a ghost. In the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus appeared physically to Mary, to Simon Peter and the other disciples, to Cleopas and his friend on their way to Emmaus, along with inviting Thomas to put his hand in Jesus' hands and in his side. Jesus physically showed himself to over 500 people to prove that he had physically, bodily raised from the dead. That was during that 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. But to fully understand what the disciples were feeling, I invite you to kind of let your mind roll back to the time of the disciples. Jesus had died a terrible death. They understood death. They understood its finality just the way we do. They began that process of working through their grief and their feelings and saying goodbye to someone that they loved, just like we do. Then something unusual happened. Jesus returned from the dead. Jesus was alive again. Now that was hard for them to get their minds around. It was hard to understand. And just as they were getting used to Jesus being with them again, Jesus physically ascended back to heaven. The difference this time was that when Jesus left the disciples, he left them with the promise and the assurance that he would return. This time they were able to believe him. This time his words were not just platitudes. Jesus had returned once from the grave. They knew that they could trust him to return again, this time from heaven. We can trust Jesus and his promises to us. Jesus triumphed over death. Jesus still triumphs over death. Jesus still is God. Jesus still uses his disciples, that would be us, to declare his message of salvation from sin and eternal life with God. Those first disciples, those first followers of Jesus that Jesus talked to while he was walking this earth and during that 40 days between resurrection and ascension, those disciples are all gone now. They've died. They have gone to receive their eternal reward. We're the disciples now. We are the witnesses. We are the ones, the only ones, who can proclaim what God does and says in our lives. We're the only ones. Only we can show by our faith that others can put their faith in Jesus too. Only we can show others that we trust in the promise of Jesus that death is not the end. Only we can tell people that we believe that Jesus lives. And by our faith in Jesus, we will live too, even after our bodies die. Only we can tell other people that they don't have to be terrified of death, because we know that God loves us and cares for us. That's our message to tell. The Bible tells us that after Jesus ascended back to heaven, the disciples had to wait 10 days to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait. We receive that Holy Spirit power, that grace of God, before we're even aware of it, before we even realize it. God's grace surrounds us all the time. God's grace helps us to understand how much Jesus loves us. God's grace, God's Spirit, helps us to realize how incomplete we are without God's grace and without His forgiveness. It's the Holy Spirit who makes us aware of our sinful nature, who makes us aware of those times that we've fallen away from God, the times that we need God's forgiveness. What's really cool is that when we accept Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, begins to create a new heart and a new spirit within us, and we receive for ourselves that victory over sin and death that Jesus promised. We receive it now. God's grace to us is His presence that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence that cheers us. It's God's presence that guides us through life's endless mazes. Being a Christ follower is not an easy road. And the journey of faith has all sorts of twists and turns in it. And along the way, we find that sometimes the devil tempts us to lose our faith. God puts us to the test to prove our faith. Sometimes the devil tempts us to lose our faith. God puts us to the test to prove our faith. That's so important to remember. Many people in our world live with life-threatening persecution because they proclaim God's presence in their lives. They've found that it is God's presence who is their strength in the face of tragedy, in the face of uncertainty. God's presence is what keeps us diligent through those daily routines of our lives that threaten to lull us into passive resignation and even giving up. It's God's presence. It's God's word that stabilizes us in a world of continually shifting values. It's God's convicting presence that gets us back on track when our priorities get out of order. It's God's presence that keeps our feet on solid ground and our minds on the promises of Jesus. My husband Paul and I get the Decision magazine. It's put out by the Billy Graham Association. And in one of those issues a few years ago was an article from Ruth Bell Graham. That's Billy Graham's wife. And the article was called Dangerous Freedom. I'll read it to you. For years, he had lived in a country whose rulers took a dim and even intolerant view of Christianity. Now he lived in a country whose Christians lived in freedom and in relative comfort, and he was appalled. To him, these Christians seemed casual about their commitment, preoccupied with position and possessions and contaminated by the world. He bluntly said so to a friend. Sometime later, he visited the friend to whom he had stated his opinion about the Christians. He asked if his friend remembered his words and his bitter criticism. The friend remembered. The man stood silent for a few moments, and the friend tensed for a second attack. The man spoke. "I have come to apologize, both for what I said and for the way in which I said it. I did not know how dangerous freedom could be for Christians. I have been here for a year now, and I am worse than those I criticized." The man paused in reflection and then added a significant statement. "It is more difficult to live the Christian life under freedom than under repression." That's what he said. We live in dangerous freedom, and God has given us free will. God gives us the opportunity every moment of every day to choose whom we will serve. We have a job to do. We cannot just sit around talking about it. We cannot just sit around waiting for Jesus to return and do nothing until then. We dare not just sit around waiting for someone else to share their faith on our behalf. God cannot guide a ship that is anchored. Each one of us has to pull up the anchor and let the wind of the Holy Spirit fill our sails and start moving, so God can lead us and direct us, you and me both, where He wants us to go. We are here for the specific purpose of testifying of God's work in our lives, and we are the only ones who can tell the story of what God is doing in our lives. Let us be about the work of doing the work of Jesus' disciples and share that hope, share that reality, share that message that anyone can come and turn to the living Christ and trust Him with their lives. Today's Ascension Sunday. We celebrate the ascension of Jesus because it gives evidence that Jesus is God. And as God Almighty, Jesus has the authority to judge our faith and our lives. The ascension of Jesus paves the way for Jesus to return. And it marks the foundation of the church, the body of believers in Christ who have been given the responsibility to continue to testify to Jesus' message of the forgiveness of sins and a restored life of God. Our lives are restored with God because of Jesus. That's our story. Jesus is still risen. And Jesus has chosen you and me, individually and collectively, to be His disciples. And folks, it's not because of our great faith. It is not great faith when we ask for signs and demand or insist that God prove Himself to us. Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus comes to us often when our faith is faltering. Jesus comes to us in the midst of our heartache and our grief. Jesus chooses us. And after testing our faith, Jesus makes our faith secure. Jesus makes us able to trust his word. Jesus makes it personal for each of us. Jesus chose us to be his witnesses to our families and to our friends and to our neighbors and even to our enemies. Jesus tells us to pray for the people we work with and even to pray for the people we don't get along with very well. Jesus promises to honor our prayers. I found that it helps if we read at least a little bit out of our Bibles every day. I found that only the Bible tells us how to walk with God. No other book tells us how to walk with God, and no other book explains how we can be saved from our sins. Only the Bible. It helps, I've found, if we pray for God to lead us each day. It helps to pray every day that the Holy Spirit will lead us to fit into God's plan for us. And it's so important, it's so very critically important to pray for the church, that the Holy Spirit will lead us as a church to fit into God's plans for us each day. Reading our Bibles, praying, maintaining our friendship with God, our faithfulness to God, all of that ties together. If you want to believe in Jesus, if you want to trust Jesus with your heart and your life, just ask him. Just ask him to help you to draw close to him. And I promise that when you do, I promise this, you will discover that Jesus is already right beside you with his hand on your shoulder. No matter how sick you are, no matter how sad you are, or how alone you might feel. On those days when you are feeling pretty discouraged and overwhelmed, always remember, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, smarter than you think, and loved. Loved more than you know. You are worth everything to God. Jesus willingly died on the cross and rose again so that you would not have to die without him and so that he would not have to go on living without you. When someone loves you, you sometimes say they won your heart. Sometimes you say they stole your heart. Either way, it's hard to resist someone who truly loves you. Jesus won my heart when I looked to the cross and remembered him bleeding and dying there for me. It wasn't because of somewhere in my youth or childhood I must have done something good. No, that wasn't it. It was because I am a sinner that Jesus bled and died and gave up his life for me. Jesus said, "Father, forgive her, for she knows not what she does." It's on the cross that I see Jesus' love for me. The cross is empty, and so is the tomb. Jesus is still risen from the dead. And when I look at the cross on which Jesus died for me, I love him all the more, knowing that it is not my great love for him that counts, but Jesus' great love for me and for each one of us. That's what really counts. When we look to the cross, we know then that the best and the most we can ever do is to simply love Jesus in return and obey God's word and follow wherever God leads. I'm going to close with a story. I heard a story about a police officer who was approached by a little boy who told the officer that he was lost. The officer put the boy in his patrol car and asked the boy where he lived. The child could not remember his address. His home was near a church in town that had a cross high on the steeple. The steeple could be seen from miles away. The little boy asked him to take him to the cross, and from there he would be able to find his way home. "Take me to that cross, and from there I'll be able to find my way home." Has your love for Jesus grown cold? Go to the cross. Is it hard for you to forgive someone? Remember the cross and the agony that Jesus went through to forgive your sins. And if you feel like you are getting off track in your faith and off track in your relationship with God, go back to the cross upon which Jesus died. You will find that the cross is empty, and so is the tomb. Jesus is still risen from the dead, and the work that Jesus came here to do is finished. Our work continues. The Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven, our sins have been forgiven, and a new life with God waits for each of us when we remember that Jesus died for us on the cross. Jesus loves you so very much. Jesus can renew your love for him, and Jesus will lead you home. Now that's a message to tell. When you tell someone about Jesus, make sure that you tell them about that cross on which Jesus died for them.